Elizabeth Esty, let's do a potpourri of things that I know I want to catch up with you on. Let's talk about transportation infrastructure. I know that a lot of people go from Connecticut into New York. I know there have been serious accidents. How are we coming?
Well, we've had some good news in the FAST Act, which was the highway bill that was passed, that has in it money that is going to be set aside for the Northeast Corridor for rail. This is the first time that we've had that done, and this is actually really important. It's really important that because the only part of the Amtrak line across the country that actually makes money for the system is the Northeast Corridor. But that money has been consistently diverted to every place else in the country that doesn't make money. Well, as we've discussed many times, our infrastructure is really aging in New England, and we need that money kept in New England and in the North Atlantic, along the North Atlantic coast, to repair and replace those lines and upgrade them. So we're looking forward to having more money there. But again, we've got a huge backlog, and I'm going to continue fighting very hard for more money for rail and for roads. And we just, it's the lifeblood of our economy and our lives is transportation, and I want to see both the rail system upgraded and fast and safe, and I want to see our roads also, you know, well-surfaced and free-flowing, repair and replace the bridges. And that remains a huge issue of the degradation of the structural integrity of our bridges. So we really have got to get after that.
Sometimes it takes a great tragedy to make all of this stuff happen. I remember when we had the Schoharie Bridge and people went into the river. They died as a result of it. But then people got interested. Listen, I want to go on to something else. You have a Women in Entrepreneurship Act. Tell us about that.
Yep. No, well, as I think you know, I've done a lot of work on STEM education, on science, technology, engineering, and math, with a particular focus on encouraging women and people of color to pursue careers in STEM. And through my work on that, I've also learned about just how much lower the representation is of women entrepreneurs, particularly in the STEM fields. And I've got an advisory council that works with me, and I've been working with them for a couple of years now. And this theme came up over and over again, that we need to have more directed support and focus on supporting women in the STEM fields. And that's everything from informal things like mentoring, but more formal programs too about how contracts are awarded, to make sure that women entrepreneurs are actually receiving support for their startups. The startup culture tends to be a very, very male-dominated, pretty white male-dominated, and that's been sort of the history of it. And so, you know, proposing legislation to help address some of those issues.
Now, I've seen some scamming there where, you know, the wife becomes the president of the company, but the man still is, you know, sort of directing things. How do we avoid that?
Well, I think you do want to be careful about that. I know there have been reports on, on that. I will tell you the bill that the Promoting Women in Entrepreneurship Act, which actually we passed in the House and is over in the Senate right now, really seeks to avoid those kinds of risks by working with organizations like the National Science Foundation and others to really be looking out for entrepreneurs and supporting those projects at the very early stages. We do need to be held accountable. So your point is well taken about making sure there isn't scamming. But again, the opportunity for our country when we get the entrepreneurial talent unleashed of our entire population is tremendous. And it's worth the effort. It's worth the effort.
Elizabeth Esty, talk to me about opioids. I know that you were early into this. You knew we were facing a terrible time with it. Is it hopeless?
No, it is absolutely not hopeless. I refuse to believe that anything is hopeless. And I will.
You and Eleanor Roosevelt.
Right, exactly. Things don't always yield easily or quickly, but they do to relentless pressure at some point. I'm honored to have been asked to and appointed to serve on the on the Senate House Conference Committee that is going to be putting together the Senate-passed bills on opioids and the House bills, which we passed last month on opioids, and trying to put those together into a single agreed-upon bill that both chambers will pass and send on to the president. So part of my focus has been on prevention, because it has become so clear to me in my work over almost 3 years on this now, and prescription drug abuse, which I worked on when I was in the state legislature. So that goes back to 2009, when I first really started learning about this issue of narcotic abuse. It can be very hard to go through rehab. It's really challenging, lots of different, physiologically, psychologically, difficult for families, economically difficult, hard to find beds, hard to find treatment that works for people. So I really think we need to raise public awareness. We need to provide law enforcement the resources to do interdiction. And I'm proud to say that the police chief of New Britain, who I've worked with really closely, Chief Wardwell, has really been outstanding. And actually, I think one of the biggest recent drug bust, breaking up a ring that is bringing heroin and fentanyl into Connecticut, and has helped as part of a statewide task force to identify where it's coming from. And frankly, the fentanyl is coming out of, which is synthetic heroin, being made extremely cheaply and dangerously potent, is being made in China, shipped through New York and into Connecticut. And we have heroin mostly coming up through Central America, through Mexico. Again, all of this is organized drug gangs. It's not like single individuals. We're talking organized crime. And that it's a toxic combination. And so many of the deaths really now are related to fentanyl, which is extremely powerful. And users, addicts, often don't know what they're using and don't understand how powerful it is. So very passionate about working with all the communities, our substance abuse counselors, with our, you know, medical providers, and frankly, we need to do a better job of not just the public, but also of educating some of the medical providers. I think some have really gotten the message, but not all who prescribe narcotics have been sufficiently aware of the risks. And so a piece I've been pushing is to require continuing medical education as part of getting a license from the DEA to prescribe narcotics. If you're going to prescribe them, you need to be aware of the risks of addiction.
So you don't think the genie is out of the bottle and it can't be put back in again, that some people think? In other words, it's gone so far now that there are so many people who are addicted, there are so many kids who are getting into it, that we can't solve it. You don't agree with that?
We can surely do better. We can surely do better. I mean, I don't think we never fully solve problems. Someone who's going to tell you we're going to solve all problems. We don't, you know, the UN hasn't disbanded because we don't have world peace. You know, we keep struggling. We keep working hard every day and make it better. And I know that's possible to do, whether that's on gun violence, whether that's on intolerance, whether that's on opioid addiction. There are steps we can take. And I'll share with you an idea I'm kicking around right now, which my staff has not even heard this from me yet. But as I've been thinking about how we use incentives, I think it may be worth looking at setting up a fund, in part funded by the drug companies through sales of legal opioids, to put into a fund that will help pay for research and pay for rehabilitation. You know, if you look at the records of the astronomic increase in the use of prescription painkillers, narcotic painkillers, in the last 10 years, it's astronomical increase. There's a lot of money that has been made in the drug industry during that time. And one could argue it's been too successful, too powerful, too potent, too addictive. And one way to address that might be to, you know, set aside some of the money that's being made there to do more robust research. We never have enough research money.
Well,
I'd like to see the CDC doing that.
Elizabeth Esty, I'm for it. I think that's great. I know that this may sound, and I don't want you to take it the wrong way, in any way patronizing, but I am so proud of you and all the work you're doing that I just want to thank you, because you're working hard at this, and it's just great to see you in action. Thanks so much.
Well, thanks so much, Alan. I always love being with you. You know that.